All right. I have it on no less of an authority of speaking on at DEF CON than Jason Scott here, that everyone is really confused about what room they're supposed to be in, and talks should start like a few minutes late. So to fill in some time before I get started, I thought I'd just tell you a little story about my other experience with computers and the police, which was soon after I got to MIT. You know, you get to MIT and there's this whole kind of pulling hacks ethic, right? Like doing these pranks to amuse people. And so, you know, you start immediately looking for things to do. And I noticed outside my lab across the street, there was a manhole that had been opened, and there were some lights in it and some power cables dangling in it, like extension cords. And it sat there like that for weeks. And, you know, what the hell's going on? There wasn't even like cones around the manhole to stop people from falling in. It just sat there, and we were just like, well, we don't know what's going on here, but maybe we should turn it into a hack. So we got an old VT220 terminal and decided we would set it up on the edge of the manhole with a lamp, as though some hacker had like popped out of the manhole and was up to no good with their VT220, hacking, you know, whatever was in the manhole. And we would film it. We'd set up a camera on the 7th floor of the building next door and film what was going on to see if we got any good reactions. So we go down, you know, at about 8 p.m. or something. It's dark in Boston at 8 p.m. And we set up our VT220 and our little desk lamp and everything and make this kind of setup. And we go back in and take the elevator up to the 7th floor to set up the video camera. And that was the fatal error, because by the time we had got up to the 7th floor office to set up the video camera, the cops had already arrived and were staring at this computer, you know, wondering what was going on. And then, you know, we're looking at the cops, looking at this computer, and then suddenly, for no apparent reason, they just start kicking the shit out of it. And one of the cops picks up the keyboard, you know, bam, and keycaps are flying everywhere. And we're just like, oh my God, why didn't we set up the computer? Well, I mean, the video camera. You know, this is like Rodney King for computers right here. So we learned two lessons from that. Firstly, you know, always set up the video first. And secondly, we started, you know, fantasizing about what else we could have done. You imagine, because after they'd finished beating it up, they loaded all the broken parts into the police car and they took it off. Who knows where? And we thought, if only we had some kind of radio transmitter hidden in that V2220 so we could hear what those guys were saying. Like, what did they think it was? What kind of totally evil computer break-in to this manhole, which was probably like a sewer or a steam tunnel, could have been going on? So second lesson, recordings. Audio, video, get a radio link, because you just never know what's going to happen. Even with the police, they're very unpredictable. So, okay, we're almost 4 minutes in, so I think I can get started. You guys have all read the description of the talk, so you know the basic gist. My desktop computer got stolen out of my place, and there's been a lot of stories lately about people who had their computer stolen or their iPhone stolen and have recovered it. So they've recovered their laptop because they've clicked the iSight and they've retrieved a picture of the person using it, and they've got the Where's My iPhone feature and stuff like that. But this is not a mobile piece of equipment, doesn't have a camera in it, so the situation was a little bit more complicated. And the circumstances of the theft, I just have to confess what happened. It was a straightforward physical security fail. My place is on the 2nd floor. There are 3 locks between. I rate everything in terms of zombie defense, so my keys are coded in terms of danger of zombie access. So the green key is the outside, the yellow key is the 2nd floor, and then the red key is my room. But unfortunately, we're not dealing with zombies in this case. They climbed through a 2nd floor window via an access method that I hadn't noticed and then busted the red lock. So just had to bypass one door. It's the kind of thing where this whole situation could have been prevented with a $20 deadbolt. So that's worth keeping in mind. But the upshot of it was, my Macintosh, which was a Quicksilver G4, my pride and joy, was now gone. I'm the kind of person that keeps religious daily backups. In fact, I kept religious daily redundant backups. Unfortunately, both of those were stored in the same room as the server and were also stolen. lesson, offsite backups. These days, I dumped everything onto a portable hard disk and gave it to my parents in Australia and said, I hope I never need to ask you for this back, but I might one day. Very, very traumatic to me. I lost all my music, all my photos, all my video projects. That's what the internet's for. So I had to channel that energy into trying to find my machine. I get very angry without my heavy metal. So what I did have was the serial number of the machine and the stats of what machine it was. And so I started to look for it in the kind of usual places you would think someone would dispose of a machine. So I started searching eBay and Craigslist for months, and I didn't find it. Fuck. Now, someone asked me almost immediately when it got stolen, if it gets plugged back into the network, will you be able to find it again? And I thought, yes, I'm running a DynDNS updater. It'll update the domain record and I'll see it again. And then I thought a bit about that a bit more, and I thought, well, the machine is set to auto boot into single user mode. Okay, so my data security policy at that time could definitely have used work. And I thought, well, the guy can boot into it, but it's not going to get back on the network because I'm pretty sure the network settings are locked and it's on an intranet, so the thief is not going to be easily able to reconnect it to the network unless they happen to have an intranet with the same settings as I did. Unlikely. So, fuck. So even with my legendary stubbornness, I eventually gave up looking for the machine on sale sites and trying to get people to go to... I was in San Francisco filming Prototype This at the time, so I'm trying to get people in Boston to go to flea markets for me and look for it, and they're telling me to fuck off, as you would expect. So, all right, time passes. Now, if you use DynDNS and you use the automatic updating service, if you don't update it for a while, you start to get messages like this, which say you have your account looks inactive. So you can either just let your account be deleted or you can click on this link and reactivate it. So I would click on these links once a month because I felt like, you know, why set it up again if I start using it again? And at some point, I noticed something and I thought, that's funny. I don't remember getting one of those emails in a while. I wonder what's up with that. So I'll log into DynDNS and see. And there I see, holy shit, 2 years later, that domain record has started to be updated. What the fuck? So quickly NS look up the IP, and pretty interesting. My machine that was stolen in Boston now seems to be on a Cox.net dial-up in Las Vegas. So I call the cops right away, and they say, oh yeah, we'll subpoena that IP record. And I said, well, you gotta make sure that you get a historical record for this, because this is a dial-up dynamic IP. It's going to change a lot. It's going to be totally worthless if you look it up now and it's not assigned to anyone or it's assigned to someone different. And sure enough, they came back a month later with their subpoena results that said that IP address isn't registered to anyone. No shit. But I wasn't staying idle in the meantime waiting for them. First thing I did, of course, was ping it and see if it was up, but it wasn't. So, you know, it's a dial-up. It's not always online. So let's do that thing a whole shitload all the time and wait for it to come back. And sooner or later, it did come back. Let's see if we can still SSH into that box. Fuck yeah. So SSH is not the only service I was running on that machine. I'm also running VNC, so let's see if that's still up. So my machine, I can still SSH to it, I can still VNC to it. The machine has not been reformatted or locked down, but he did at least go to the trouble of changing my desktop background. I'll give him that. Now this is a Macintosh, so we can enter things on the command line that make it do things. Like text-to-speech that comes out of the built-in speaker with no apparent window or source.
I am gonna get you, motherfucker.
But childish fun aside, I want that machine back. So let's start taking a look to see what we can find out about the guy that has it. So he hasn't changed the names of my hard disks. There are some PDFs on the desktop. They look like forms for unemployment benefits in Nevada. It turns out they are unemployment forms in Nevada, but they're not filled in electronically. They've just been downloaded and probably printed out, so that's a dead end. But we have some stuff that are JPEGs. Maybe they're interesting pictures. Let's take a look. So now, either whoever has this computer is really into saving photos from diamond earring wearing douchebags.com, or these are pretty hilarious self-portraits. So let's find out a little bit more about what this guy's into. Let's take a look at his browser cookie file. So here's an excerpt. So here are some sites. We got blackfatbooty.com, bigbuttbrazilianmoms.com, freebigassporn.com, elephantasses.com. All right. What about some searches? All right, we got sexy, beautiful, fat ass. Got several searches for free porn. Not something I thought that was that difficult to find, all right, but we're getting a psychological profile. Now, I know some of you out there, right? You're thinking, this is my machine, these are my cookies. Huh? Now, I swear to you that they're not. You're just gonna have to take my word for that. We got some location information in these cookies. Oh, you want an answer to that? I'll give you the same answer I gave at my DEF CON talk 2 years ago. ASCII goatsy. Yeah. Yeah, so location information in the cookies, but nothing we didn't know. It's all Las Vegas. But a little bit deeper here, we find Gmail address. Nice. Thank you, Google, for keeping that stuff very easy to find. So what do we got? We got location in Las Vegas. We got a name, we got a face, we got a Gmail account, and we got a keylogger installed. So at this point I got sweaty palms, and I'm like, oh, can't wait for this machine to come back online, because it goes offline typically, 8 or 10 hours after it comes online. So waiting to get that first keylog back, and here's some of the initial keylog stuff. So right away we have a street name, but not a street number. Could be his, could might not be. We got one login and password, but we don't really have a lot here. There's a lot of weird key presses, and I know that he's using the web a lot because I'm watching also on VNC some of the time when I happen to be there when it's happening. But how is he logging into things without typing many passwords? Well, the browser he's using is Camino, which is the browser that I had installed, because he can't install new software because he doesn't have the admin password. And Camino is a Macintosh build of Mozilla. It's integrated well with the macOS keychain for storing passwords. Now, the keychain is encrypted, but he's storing his passwords in my keychain, and it's encrypted with my password. So I download the keychain file and open it in Keychain Manager, and he's pwned. So at this point, I just need to find out a little bit more. I need a full street address. I need to find out maybe some more info about this guy. So what about his birthday? Well, army.com is nice enough to send him a birthday greeting that tells us the day and the month. But what about the year? It's not in there. Well, maybe his logins and passwords can shed some light on the subject. You think maybe he was born in 1985? Well, eBay tells us that he was. But, this guy's not using the same password for everything. Like, I don't want to completely denounce his password behavior. He does mix it up a bit. We've got some twiddling on the numeric keypad going on for some of these. So what we have at this point now is a name and an address and a birthday, but still not the street number. Kind of need that to send the cops around. Oh wait, some recent PayPal receipts. At And I don't want to send the police on a wild goose chase. I need some confirmation here. So I happened to be watching one day, and I was watching him log into his credit card account over VNC. And it's a good thing, isn't it, that his bank's security is strong and he's got this image identifier that's protecting him from phishing attacks. Doesn't that make us all feel warm and fuzzy? But there we go, logged in, there's the address. So that goes off to the police. But while the police are doing their work, let's take a closer look at this guy. Let's get to know him a bit. He's using my computer. Who is Melvin Guzman? Well, Melvin Guzman is the kind of person who spells his own name wrong on his Facebook page. His main activity is taking photos of himself for online dating sites, and when he saves those pictures, he just mashes on the keyboard. So my stolen computer, my beloved Mac, is being used by someone less competent than a typewriting chimp. But maybe if he stole an infinite number of computers, we might figure out if the complete works of Shakespeare could fit in a Mac OS X file name. But thanks to his self-portrait obsession, I hereby present the many sexy faces of Melvin Guzman. I'm sure the ladies love that one. The profile seems to be very important. Wink, wink. And all the ladies out there, this man is available. Contact me if you would like his phone number. Now, I'm sorry to anyone who wanted to see the full Monty here, but after I originally submitted the slides, the DEF CON staff told me that they might have trouble when they put the videos of this talk on their CDs that they have for sale afterwards, and they might have some trouble with the AV company if I left it in. So I had to search for something to cover up the wiener here, if you like. But let me just say that when I searched for DEF CON logo images on Google Images, I only had to search for icon size. If you've ever wondered what photographers mean when they say make love to the camera, that's what they mean. And after making love to the camera, he doesn't mind cuddling it afterwards. But this seems to work, all right, because the sexy ladies of the internet responded, and it worked out for him. So here's what he was receiving back. So at last, he found the fat booty he was looking for. I assume so. But here's a side note on online dating techniques, right? I don't know a lot about this, but I noticed when I was looking at the keylogger that there were a lot of control Vs. And I found out why that was from watching in VNC. This guy would write a message once and then copy and paste it to literally hundreds of women. I think this used to be called the shotgun approach, but I don't think they make shotguns that can hit 200 targets at once. So I think maybe we need to call it the nuke from orbit approach. And finally, an interesting bit of info, considering this is a guy using a stolen computer, he's taking an online course for criminal justice. I think he's enrolled in my online course for criminal justice. But armed with all the address information that I was able to give them, the police were able to go and recover the computer. In fact, I think they did that the day after I submitted these DEF CON slides, after the deadline. And it taught me some lessons that I thought I would share with you. First of all, obviously, my security of the machine, in a data security sense, in terms of not encrypting the hard disk and letting it boot into single-user mode, was shithouse. But if I'd had better security, then I would never have been able to recover the computer. If the guy couldn't log into it, if he had to wipe the drives, if he couldn't reconnect it to the network, same deal. So I actually recovered the hardware, and I did recover some of my data. Some of it had been erased, but I got a little bit of it back, and I set up rsync scripts every time it was online to pull in more and more of the stuff. So I often wonder if he was paying for bandwidth as well, because every time it would connect, like, I'd be slurping gigabytes of stuff back down his dial-up. The second lesson is a lot of these services are potential vulnerabilities against a trained threat. Like, everyone here is thinking, oh yeah, you know, you're running VNC, and if you're not tunneling it over SSH, then you know you're totally making a mistake. Especially also having a daemon that tracks the IP address of wherever this machine moves. Especially for if this was a mobile platform, you know, if I was running a DynDNS upgrade on my laptop, people would know where I was all the time. So that would be bad against a train threat, but very good against a low tech threat. So it's all about sort of threat modeling and remembering to buy that $20 deadbolt. Another thing, the keychain versus keylogs. I'm one of those guys that never really trusted the keychain, you know, because it's a single point of failure. It's got everything in it. Like, what if you could get into it? But it's actually like an interesting defense against keyloggers, which is something that you're more likely to have on your machine from spyware and stuff. There are more sophisticated keyloggers. There are ones that log mouse movements and clicks and things like that. But for a very basic keylogger, having forms and passwords and stuff just fill themselves in automatically when you're logged in once, you know, it's potentially protective. And then finally, having my serial number was great. Like, being able to give that to the cops, file a police report, meant that the hardware could be recovered. Without that serial number, there's no way. So write that down somewhere. And then the final lesson learned, of course, I'm sure you all know, don't fuck with a hacker's machine. Thank you.